Welcome to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is where we have motivational, inspiring conversations and interviews that we hope you'll enjoy listening to.
Join us and other inspired actioneers on this alchemical, transformational journey.
Welcome to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is pod number 124. My name is Jay, and I'm here with my co-host, as always, Lita Herman.
Welcome back, Inspired Actioneers. It's great to have you back for more about the yin and yang aspects of each of the five elements. We're really excited about today because the last podcast, number 123, was about wood, and it really helped a lot of listeners figure out their level of woodiness.
Yes, I was really trying to understand my level of woodiness, and that was a really good podcast, and I was very happy, and it was fun. I like fun. Fun is good. We mentioned the F word.
Yes.
Right? The new F word is the fun. It's not a dirty one. It's a good one.
It's not a dirty word.
So hope you're wood or you're discovering your own wood. Remember, we all have wood in us somewhere. That fun goes hand in hand with the wood.
Yes.
But I'm ready to go. Let's go. Fire. Let's heat it up.
All right.
Let's burn this podcast down with some fire. Let's talk about fire.
Okay. So we're looking at the yin and yang aspects of the fire element. And fire is really interesting because it's the only element that has four types instead of two.
Of course, that's fire. They have so much awesomeness. They just need more.
Yes, yes, we do need more. And we are like that. So why four types? We're going to explain why in a minute. But I want to say first, with all these episodes on yin and yang, many of the things we've talked about previously about the elements, you know, they apply to all the types of elements. And this is especially important to remember about the fires, because fires all have that twinkle in their eyes. Their voices always go up and down, very excited. They always have a bouncy walk. And all fires, when they're in a good place, they smile. They laugh a lot. So the nuances of the yin and yang aspects, this is just going deeper into it so that we can start to differentiate a little bit among all those fire people that have all those qualities. So we're not saying this replaces any of those things. These are just the nuances.
Yeah, the next level. And that's a great way to explain it. But why does fire have four?
So the main reason is numerology.
Of course.
Chinese medicine loves numbers. So it's no accident how many acupuncture points are on each of the meridians, for example.
Yeah, we know. They've thought of everything, right? Way deeper than we even imagine.
Yes, the ancients who created Chinese medicine, which, by the way, none of us know who really did create it because it was thousands of years ago. Everything about it is so elegantly done according to what each number represents. And so we're looking at the number 10 right now because each element, we have five elements, and each element should have two, right? A yin and a yang aspect. Yet, we actually have 12 meridians, so it's very confusing.
Yeah, the number 10 is perfection, the number of the human being, and of course, two times five, the five elements. So it's essentially two aspects of each element, and then if someone is confused, right, which is probably the case here, it is fire has four, so how does it also have two?
Right.
So that make it six or that make it four?
Exactly. It's so confusing. So we must make it that each element has a yin and yang aspect. But fire actually has two yin and two yang aspects. So it still has a yin and yang aspect. We just break it down again. So we talked about how the liver, the visionary type, is the yin type for wood, and the gallbladder, the implementer, is the yang type.
Which still sounds like a garden tool.
Yes. So each element.
I'm going to go out to the shed and get the implementer.
Yes.
And get that job done.
Yes. So we're going to go through all of these. They all have to. Right over my
head. Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No, not.
Not even the implementer. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. We need 12. Why do we need the number 12 to come into play here? Because the number 12 in Chinese medicine represents regulation. The body needs regulation to stay in homeostasis. So evidently the number 10 or perfection isn't quite enough. And now the number 11 comes in between there. The number 11.
Which is one of my favorite numbers. like two ones together, right?
Yes.
But so 10 perfection is not enough. 11 perfection plus one is not enough.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned that. Number 11 is what makes life interesting. If everything was perfect, we wouldn't bother coming into being. We'd just stay in wholeness or the divine, whatever you want to call it, in perfection in a non-physical world. We come into our beings because we want to experience the wacky, wonderful world around us, which is the number 11.
Woohoo! Which is 10 plus 1, which means everything that's perfect gets the experience mutation.
Yes.
That, right?
Yes. Mutation is what it's about. We're always evolving into something new. We are essentially mutating all the time. Perhaps very slowly over many generations, but we are changing. And it's this unpredictability that we love. That's the spice of life. That's why we incarnate, to experience the unknown, not knowing what is going to happen next and how we're going to deal with it or change to meet the new demands in life.
It also sounds like a plot line for an X-Men movie, right? Versus yes. The mutants, right?
Right.
So it's everything new and everything different and everything unknown. And for me, it's about that wood hope that we talked about in the pod 123. And I imagine the number 11 is different for everyone, Lita.
Yes. So for fire, it's about potential love being found or lost. So for each element, it's going to be different. And if we just live in the number 11 all the time, nothing would be stable in life.
Ah, so that's where number 12 comes in.
Yes. The number 12
I'm following.
You get it. We have to have the number 12 to get some level of organization around all this craziness of the number 11. We need to organize it. We need to regulate. So we can't just have 10 organs in the body. We need 12. And Chinese medicine wanted 12 so badly, they had to give 4 organs to the fire element, but they're still grouped into 2, a yin aspect and a yang aspect. It's just that the yin aspect has 2 aspects and the yang aspect has 2 aspects.
That sounds uncomplicated to the complicated.
Yes.
I thank you for trying to unravel that.
Yes,
I'm not sure you may have unraveled it a little tighter there.
I know.
But no, I think if you listen to this like 4 times, not 2 times, you might get it right.
Yes. Well, for the Chinese medicine practitioners out there, this is obviously a big deal because there are 12 primary meridians in the body as a result. So the bodily functions can be organized internally and create that homeostatic regulation.
That's great. I keep going. You're on fire.
So, yes, I am. So you can think of the fire element as needing 4 channels because the heart is that important.
It's very, very important. I'm going to just let you keep going here.
So, of course, it needs a little extra.
Something.
A
little extra something for the fire people, please. Woohoo!
But before we go on, how about we
wait? Before we give you the answer,
right?
Let's talk about the Alchemy Learning Center and what's going on in the Inspired Action Podcast. As always,
sounds good. All right, so Jay, we've had a lot of listeners reach out to us for help in trying to figure out their elements.
And we love that, and we wish to continue that on. So, if you want to send us your walk on a video, go ahead, send us an email at lita@inspiredactionpodcast.com or jay@inspiredactionpodcast.com. And we'll send you more instructions, a little how-to video to do your video.
And the walk is a good place to start. But often if you feel confused about your elements, it's often because your family or society or a significant other in your life has taught you to be someone you aren't naturally.
Yeah, that's very common. Also, we do have some injury sometimes or a profession that really encouraged you to walk
a certain way.
Yeah. So that comes up. So we kind of work on that when we talk to people about it.
Yeah. And all of this causes a lot of confusion. Just the other day, we had someone who was totally convinced she was Earth. And she even took the online tests and always tested Earth. But after meeting with Jay, she realized she was water. But she was answering all those questions in the online surveys as what she thought she should be, rather than what she truly was.
Yeah, this can be, you know, a little tricky, and it takes time for people to, you know, take, you know, the look at their lives and the way they act and where they are. And again, we talked about how things changes over time, and you know, some people it's really clear in the energetics of their walk and their talk and their face morphology, and sometimes it's not because they're living in another element.
Yeah,
which is okay.
Yeah, it's hard to be your authentic self. And this is a theme in the podcast today because fires have this in spades. It's kind of like intense for fires to be authentically themselves.
Yeah, and when some people, you know, when you don't know it, they've been hiding those authentic parts of themselves. And maybe they were taught that it was bad or not good, or they were shame and blame. All those kind of things that we talk about in this podcast as things we want to move out of and move into the more positive, authentic, be yourself kind of stuff.
Like a good example is, you know, mothers out there, for some reason, society makes us think we need to be earth. You know, the earth.
Uber earth.
Uber earth, like really stable, really caring, really giving to your children all the time, selflessly. But what if instead you're just an adventurer who's very spontaneous and silly?
A water.
Yes. And then our culture taught you that, you know, the mother should be this other kind of mother.
So they move out of their authentic water because they don't, you know, really want to have that society judge them as a not a good mom or a good, you know, caretaker. So, yeah, this is a common one. And, you know, I think we have, again, many women in the society today have been kind of squashing that play. Even though you have children, you would want to play, but it's more, it's like a different level play. But they squash that to fit into the societal roles of motherhood, for sure.
Yes. And that's just one example. There are wood women who are trying not to be assertive. There are fire or earth men out there trying to be tough and not too friendly social. And then there are metals who are trying to be super duper social and not really feeling it. So, you know, the list goes on and on.
We see them all and we hear them all and we try to help everyone understand it as best we can. So if you do feel confused, it's because you've, air quotes here, how to put on that other elemental energies. It's often your second or third, and hopefully you don't get stuck in that, which we've talked about a lot in the past in this podcast. And guess what, Lita? We're going to continue to talk about it.
Yes. And, you know, those second and third elements, they should be your helper elements.
Yeah, there's no shame in that. No shame in that. We look at the walks, you know, even though your walk can change a little, especially when you're not being authentically. You've had treatments where they've walked one way, you've done a ghost point treatment, and they come out and they walk differently.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's really
crazy.
Yes, it's true. Some people have actually stopped their hips from moving side to side, for example, or, you know, lots of different reasons. But then, you know, they start to be their authentic selves and they start walking normal.
We've seen a lot of men that have been kind of like shamed into bouncing if they're fire. So they eliminate that bounce and they try to have a swagger almost.
Yeah.
And then once we get into these layers, we give them permission almost to try to find themselves in their more authentic walk.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So go ahead. The long story short of that, or the short story of the long, I don't know, is to send us your elements. We'll help you figure it out. If you're on this journey, we want to help. So you may certainly send us the video. You can watch the video on how to send your video.
Yes. And you also can have session with us. You know, we do consult with people individually. So that's also an option.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about our rate and review for our podcast swag on our podcast and our books and all these different things that we have out. It's amazing and fun. And we're just so happy. So if you would like to get some Inspired Action or Alchemy Learning Center swag, which is t-shirt, mugs, hats, stickers with our cute logo on it.
Just leave a review, maybe on Apple, Amazon, or Audible. Can we call that the three A's?
Which we're working on slowly, people. Please, it's coming along slowly.
Yes.
But we do have a YouTube channel where this podcast shows up.
Yes.
It seems to be the future. So
we're working on it, and it's working.
And this week, we want to say thank you. Shout out to Laura, who wrote us a really nice note and did a review. And we sent out a mug. I think. Yes. So you're going to get your mug shot soon. But thank you on that. And let's also say a shout out to Ann Cecil Sturman. People are really loving the podcast that we did with her a couple weeks ago.
If you haven't heard it yet, it's Pod 122, and it's a delightful interview
that Ann
did
together
with me. And it was really, I don't know, it expanded our consciousness.
I like that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I've listened to it a few times now, and it's a lot of fun. And we'll have more of Anne in the future, we hope. So, all right, I think that's it. You know, rate and review, swag. We have a lot more things. We're like, I'm chomping at the bit to make some announcements, but we're not quite there yet. So maybe the next one. But all right, let's get back to fire. All right, you go first. I have a lot to say, but you go first.
Okay, so the thing that we're working on today is the heart. So the heart is considered yin, but it has two ways that it can be yin. Remember, there's two aspects for the yin and two aspects for the yang parts of fire. So we have two ways the heart can be yin. There's the heart of the heart, what I always call the empty space inside your heart where the blood flows through.
And where your spirit resides.
Yes, it's like a cave inside the heart that is the home of the spirit.
Yeah, it's like the emperor's bedroom in the palace, except you're the emperor.
Yes.
Right? That's
right.
Your space.
Exactly.
That's where like the chill cave.
Yeah.
The heart cave.
The chill cave.
The chill cave.
Well, it's a sanctuary. It's a sacred place.
Yeah.
The most sacred aspect of yourself is your spirit, and your spirit resides there. That's the actual heart, not the beating muscle that we think is the heart in the West. In Chinese medicine, it's the center of the heart where that's empty, where the spirit lives. That's the actual heart. The part that we call the heart here in the West is called the pericardium in Chinese medicine, or the heart protector, some people call it. Or in Chinese, it's called tanzhong, which is the name of the point at the center of the chest. So it's essentially, you can think of it as the actual walls of that empty heart space we were talking about. So it's like the physical matter that we like to call the heart.
It's essentially protecting the heart, right?
Yes. And because every fire person knows it's a mean world out there, how are we going to deal with all that meanness? We're going to want to protect that little inner sanctum with some walls and maybe some defensiveness even.
Yeah, defensive posture, not a good thing for fire people.
Yes, and especially if we've been hurt before. But really, it's not actually the job of the heart protector to protect the heart. We're going to explain that in detail today. It's really the job of the heart protector or the pericardium to allow the light of your spirit, of your inner heart to shine out in the world so that you can love everyone. That's the pericardium's job. It's to send out all the light and love.
And asterisk, it makes your eyes twinkle.
Yes. And it causes them to smile all the time. And both that inner heart and the pericardium outer heart, both of those are yin. They don't really do anything. The inner heart is just being, and the outer heart protector part is just radiating the light, like a lamp or something. That's all they do. So they're both yin.
So that sounds good. Twinkle in the eye, light and love, just joy. That's a good thing. Those are really good things. All right, so what should we call and give these little names for these two types?
All right.
Like so their nicknames.
Right. So remember, Jay said that the inner heart, it's like the emperor lives in the emperor's bedroom. So that's where the spirit lives, and the emperor is in charge of the being. So it's often called the Lord and Sovereign in Chinese medicine. But we like to call it the Supreme Controller.
Yeah, I still love the Supreme Controller because the heart people out there, they like to be in control. I'm just saying, okay, they can't help it. And, you know, we're going to go into that why, but and why that's really hard for them, but that's going to be a little bit later. But they like to be in control.
Well, actually, I think the word like is the issue here.
Love.
They don't have a choice.
They love it's, yeah.
They don't have a choice. They are in control, whether they like it or not.
There you go.
They
it's like that
it.
Breath we talked about with Wood with Hope.
Yeah.
It's like it's just in there.
It just has
to come out.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it's not
like
their
that.
Fault, and they shouldn't be embarrassed about it.
I love that.
It's just who they are. So, the pericardium type is the other one, and that part just radiates light and love. So let's call them the illuminators.
Not the Illuminati, but the illuminators.
Right. And traditionally,
that's another podcast.
Yes. So traditionally, it could also be called the heart master or the heart protector, we already told you. And it's meant to be illuminating. They're also meant to make sure that things go in a one-way direction out from the heart and that nothing goes back in. So that's the idea of the heart protector. Because when people are mean, we're not supposed to take that in. We're just supposed to keep illuminating. That's what the pericardium types are supposed to do.
I like that. That sounds fantastic.
Okay.
Not always easy to do, but it sounds fantastic.
No.
So, Lita, what are the other two fire types?
Okay, so the other two fire types are on the yang side of things. But they still have a pair. One of them is paired to the heart and one of them is paired to the pericardium. Just because.
Just because nothing is ever simple in Chinese medicine.
Now you're getting it, Jay.
That's right. Remember, I'm in charge of simple. This is not simple, but I'm following along and I kind of know this, but I'm really trying to like pull it out so anyone who's not really into this can figure it out as well.
Yes. So the yang parts of fire, there's two. One is the small intestine. And we like to call it the supreme sorter because it's paired with the supreme controller.
And what's it sorting?
Everything, literally everything. So we'll get to that in a bit.
Okay, and the other one?
In Chinese, it's called san jiao, and that just means three heaters. So it's also translated as the triple heater because it doesn't actually have an organ. It just has three spaces in the body. The lower abdomen, the middle abdomen, and the chest. Those are the three heaters.
And do we have a nickname for this?
The Merrymaker?
That sounds like a very medieval way to put it, but I like it. How about party animal?
Well, that sounds like a college student. It's kind of a lifetime of being uber social.
How about the socializer, the seeker of social?
Yes.
I think that's it, right? Yes. The socializer?
Yes, I think that's it. That's definitely the one. I like that. And so the triple heater slash socializer is paired with the pericardium slash illuminator. So when we say they're paired, it's just like wood. There's a continuum between the yin and yang pairs. So for fire, there are two continuums, or I guess you call them continua?
Tomato, tomato. Okay, so two continui. One that's small intestine supreme sorter on the left, the yang side, and one that's heart supreme controller on the right. Is that correct?
Yes.
All
and
right.
Then the other
I got that. Ding, ding, ding,
then
ding.
The other continuum has triple heater socializer on the left, and on the right is the pericardium
illuminator. We need to put a disclaimer. You may listen to this podcast more than once to see where you are on the continuum.
That's okay. Great.
Okay, awesome. So that was a big lead up to explain how this all works. That's just the lead up that we're going to get to on this. But let's dive into one of those pairs at a time, Lita, in this episode. And maybe we'll do another one in the next episode.
Yeah, I think
we might have to.
We need to break it down.
Okay, so we're going to break it down, fire style.
So there are theories about fire. And one of the theories is that the most common fire people out there are the pericardium slash illuminators. So I was thinking, let's start with that pair since it is most common.
Sure. That sounds good.
If that theory is correct. And, you know, we don't know how to even test that theory because, you know, we definitely do see a lot of pericardium.
I think it's the most common that we see out in the world.
But
I mean,
that doesn't mean it's accurate.
That means diddly squat in the real world. But
it might just mean the other types don't seek out healing as much. I mean, there's just no way to tell.
But for this purpose, we're going to say it's the most common.
Yes. So let's look at the continuum of those. So much of how we've been describing fire, again, relates to all the fire types, but especially when we describe fire, because they're most common, we really are usually talking about the pericardium type. So remember, it's a continuum. If you're on the extreme right, the most yin side of the continuum, you're not actually as social as we often say fires all are. You'll still be smiley. You still be sociable like all the other fires.
And you're still going to want people to like you.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yes. All fires are a bit shy when they aren't sure if they are socially safe in a new situation.
That's a tongue tire. So they're socially seeking safety in a new situation.
That's a tongue twister.
I'm not even sure I got that right, but yes.
So the illuminators, again, are on the more yin side, and they might have fewer friends. Maybe just a few special friends, and maybe they're just a little less interested in being around tons of people. The Chinese translation for this type of person, the most yin fire type, is called Jin Bao Lo. Jin means heart, Bao means threads, like tendrils coming out of the heart, and Luo means connections. Together, it means like a heart wrap, a heart envelope, and it's the closest part to that empty space inside the heart. So it's the most private.
Yeah, it's about levels of vulnerability for all fire elemental people. You know, how do they deal with that vulnerability is the question. The more yang types tend to expose themselves more readily. And I don't mean that like, woo, just whipping out in the trench coat there. But they tend to expose themselves more readily in hopes of sharing their love and light and perhaps getting more love back, even if it is scary to be vulnerable. They'll do it.
That's a really good point. And so for the more yin types, their shyness makes them hold back more until they're really safe to expose themselves again.
Oh boy, here we go again with that trench coat.
Not the trench coat.
And they emotional trench coat.
Yes.
How's that?
They might also keep more secrets because they're afraid to share the parts of themselves that maybe they're embarrassed about. You know, all fires do that to some extent.
Yeah, and I think since fire is meant to be displaying their light and love to the world, the more withdrawn a fire person seems, that's just going to be more of them on the inside, right?
Yeah.
And ideally, they're not holding themselves back out of fear, but rather it's just their nature, that fire nature. So can we say all fires who are holding back their light are struggling with themselves? They have to shine no matter what? They're like struggling what?
It's a really good point. We're talking about the true nature of each fire type when they're in a good place. When they're in a bad place, it's always going to result in them shutting down their own light, and that's never good.
So, leader, your fire first. Let's talk about being in that good place.
Yeah, so when you're in the good place, it's like you have those tendrils that translation was. The tendrils are like light tendrils emanating out of the heart. And so it doesn't matter whether you're more yin and not seeking out tons of people or more yang and wanting to be out in the world. Those tendrils are just always beaming out light. That's the twinkle factor of fires we talk about, where this illuminator just sends it out in the world like beacons of light. And the light is generated by the inner heart, but it's the illuminator's job to send it out like a lamp. A lamp doesn't really do anything or process anything. The yang fire types do stuff. The illuminator is just being the light.
Yeah, and I often use the example of a lighthouse.
Yes.
Like that beacon and that beam comes out.
Yeah.
And it just shines. It's like
far
that's its
wide.
Job.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the love has the to love. Shed the light and the love.
Yes. Now there's that more yang side of this continuum that the illuminator is on. And so on the far left side, we have
the noisier version of the illuminator.
Yes.
Right? Woohoo!
Woohoo! The triple heater or the socializer is incredibly busy with life.
Yeah, they're doing that extreme social version of fire. They're always doing, doing, doing. A little bit doing, doing, doing than the wood.
Yeah.
This is more of the social. They want to go to every party, every county fair, every concert, maybe a flea market. I don't know, yard sale, garage sale, tag sale, whatever you call it. I don't know. They just like to be, they're socially seeking.
Yes.
They're seeking the social.
Yes. And that's that extreme yang energy. It looks like extreme outgoingness. So they're constantly processing the relationships they're having, the connections they're having. They're making tons of connections, tons of friends. We like to say they have like 50 friends or something like that.
50
like best
close friends.
Friends,
yes.
But all these connections, it does make a ton of complexity in their lives.
They're all over the place. Their lives can sometimes feel out of control maybe.
And the people may not always like them back. And then there's all that. And it,
or someone tries to keep them in one spot and they want to move on. They want to do things.
Yes.
They want to seek more social.
Yes. They want to be everything, everywhere, all at once. That's why there isn't a single organ associated with the triple heater.
It's literally is everywhere all at once.
Yes.
Right?
And
which is a good thing. I mean, it's a great thing. Woohoo.
And in Chinese medicine, even though they are called heater, like the word heater, it's not about warmth. It's about regulating. They're always trying to make everyone play nice together. They always want to create harmony, and they want an even temperature among everyone, like an equilibrium. So their official job title, since we've been talking about, you know, how the liver is the general of the armed forces and, you know, all of these like official titles, the official job title of the triple heater is they're responsible for the opening of passages and regulation of the waterway stems from it.
I'm not sure what voice that was supposed to be.
What official.
Voice? Official
My
voice.
Official voice.
Oh, boy. Okay. So what does that mean when we correlate that to a person? And use that voice again.
It means.
No, please don't use that voice again.
They don't like it when someone is being cold. Or if someone's being really overheated, like angry, they want to get involved and they want to try to even those temperatures out.
Yeah, they want to regulate it.
Yes.
Right? They want to regulate. But what would that look like in the world today?
Well, those who are on the far left of this continuum are, as far as I know, pretty rare. they're going to be the life of the party fire types, the ones who entertain everyone. Everyone circles around them to hear their stories, or at least they're wishing people would do that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they might still go home alone, mm-hmm. and that's their vulnerability. They deal with their vulnerability by being uber social. That might still mean that they're shy inside and they're not making those deeper connections, which they really want. Yeah. They don't result in these longer lasting relationships. They might just be too vulnerable.
And that's how they might struggle. It can definitely happen because they're just as shy in a strange way as the yin types. It's just that their strength is in this full exposure, not the trench coat, full exposure, but that doesn't make them any
less. The emotional trench coat.
Yeah, that doesn't make them any less vulnerable. They are just way more active. They have so much more movement. They have so many more changes in their lives. They are ideally as comfortable being alone on their own as they are relating to 1,000 people at once.
There you go. Yeah. Wow. That is just a lot of people, but
yeah, for a wood person, that's like,
and I have fire second, so I can, you know, I do like people.
Yes.
Most of the time. No, I love people. Asterisk. Most of the time. So Lita, Aunt Many Fires right smack dab in the middle of this continuum. Like you, you have a bit of both.
Yes. I've always been a bit shy, but I love people and I love being social, especially when I feel safe. So I'm naturally very social, but in the past, I tended not to make as many friends as I actually wanted to because I was shy and I held myself back a little bit. But as I've matured, this has become a non-issue. I am able to allow myself to do both hold back when it's right and to move out into the world when it's right.
I love that. That sounds so perfect. That's kind of like the theme of this podcast here. If you fall in the middle,
yes.
You know, is that kind of the goal for the illuminator socializer types of fire out there?
Yes. When you're feeling more inward, it's not because you've been hurt and you're protecting yourself. It's because you're feeling quiet and connecting more internally. And when you're feeling more outward, we say that you're allowing the circulation of your spirits. You're allowing the light to shine and you're interacting with the rest of the world.
When you're not necessarily hiding your light.
Yes, exactly. Now, we haven't gone into the official title of the Illuminator yet. Wait, you're giving it away. All right. It is the Circulation Sex Official.
There's that voice again. You can explain that one.
The Circulation Sex Official is when you're allowing that free flow of the spirit to come out of the heart, which is the Illuminator's job. The spirit is what actually animates our bodies. In fact, they say the body has a network of animation in it. And this is that it's what makes us feel alive. It's our vitality. And when we're in a sexual situation.
And not a Disney animation.
No. Let's just say you're aroused.
Definitely not Disney.
And you're turned on. And when you're turned on, you feel this surge of energy in your body. And you actually even get sexual secretions due to the Illuminator.
Now we know it's why it's not Disney.
Yes. And that's the spirit of you getting animated throughout your body. That's the Illuminator's job.
I'm not even going to make another joke about that. I'm just going to let that go.
They say this is the movement of joy and elation, which is the Illuminator's job.
Which hopefully is the feeling we have during sex.
Yes.
Or making love.
Hopefully. And this function can't happen if our hearts are closed. So the nickname of the pericardium that people use called heart protector, it's kind of a misnomer.
Yeah, you said that earlier and I wanted you to go deeper into that. So that's good. Let's talk about a little bit about that. It's not really there to protect.
Right, because the heart should be open so the light can shine out. But at the same time, it's not supposed to let anything get in. So there should be no need for protection because there should be a natural filter keeping the bad things out. The idea of having protection means not opening your heart.
So the art of the open heart is to open the heart.
Yes.
So that sounds simple, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's not good. About building a fortress around the heart. That's what heart protector sounds like. It's about being a beacon of light.
Like
it's
the lighthouse.
One-way.
Like
yes.
I said, it's just out there. It's to show us, the rest of us, the light. Like just there it is. Bing,
yeah.
Bing. I don't know what a lighthouse sounds like. I don't know.
The lighthouse doesn't take anything in. It just shines out. So no wall is needed. The way to deal with vulnerability in yourself is to open up and shine. This allows us to experience joy and elation.
Like you have something to shine on, something separate from yourself.
Exactly. In the next episode, we're going to talk about the heart of the heart and how that type, the one we call the supreme controller, it's like the filament of the light at the center of the light bulb, at the center of the lighthouse.
But not the bulb itself.
Oh, yeah. Or not the lighthouse. It's what generates the light. The illuminator just makes sure that it gets out into the world so that it can shine on something else, someone else. When there's another person that gets to receive that light, that's what brings you the joy and elation. It actually brings joy and elation, hopefully, to both parties. It's an exchange, sort of, or at least it has an effect. Whereas the heart person, it's not relevant that other people see or feel that light that's, you know, deep inside. It's a more internal experience of the light when you're the heart type.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome. And a little bit out there, but we're going to break that down. But why don't we wait till next time to go deeper into that one?
Yes, sounds good.
I think
good.
That goes with the second part of this.
Yes, that sounds great.
But I love it. It sounds fantastic.
Yes.
So how else can we tell if someone is an illuminator versus a socializer, the seeker of social?
That's a good question. So here's another great way to look at it. The job of the illuminator is like an ambassador. And they also say it's kind of like an envoy. So what does that mean on the continuum? If you're on the right side, the yin side of the continuum, you're more like the ambassador who lives at the embassy in another country. So the ambassador represents the country that they're from, and their presence isn't like doing things. The presence is the doing. They're not doing much. People come to them, maybe to meet with them, but they're holding a position of representative. They're the resident, which is often how it's translated from the Chinese. The resident of the embassy, or some people call it the ambassador for the heart. It represents the heart in the world. It's the tangible aspect of the heart, you know, because it's the outer walls. So it's the expression of the heart.
We have a lot of metaphors and titles and nicknames in this podcast.
Yes.
Right? It's a lot. But what about the envoy to the ambassador for the heart?
Yes.
Because every ambassador has an envoy.
Yes. So the envoy is the person you send out to the far corners of the kingdom to greet people or to other countries to convey an important message.
More metaphors.
So the envoy.
Gotta break this down, Leah. Yeah.
But the envoy is the socializer. They're much more outward in their expression of that residency. So that's going to be much more, or at least in the middle of the continuum.
Like you.
Like me. I would definitely be more the envoy. I love to be that person. I love going out and bringing a message, which is probably why I love doing this podcast. It's so awesome not to just be the lamp, but actually go out and talk with people. It's vulnerable a little bit. It's a little bit scary, but I would just hate to sit and shine with no exchange.
Yeah, I think then you're on the total yang side, the left side.
Yes. So the socializer is even more yang than me, because that's when you're not just the envoy or the representative anymore. You're just like everywhere all at once socializing. So it's not really about bringing a message of light and love anymore. It's way more than that. It's about helping the whole world have more equilibrium. And their presence just brings about less strife and more love among people. And so it's not because there's a particular message they're conveying anymore. It's more their very presence that lightens everyone's lives.
Yeah. And I want to ask you a question. I know we talked in the wood on the continuum. Does that change throughout the maturity of fire?
I do think that as we mature, we're able to be more open. So, but I would imagine your very nature is your authentic self somewhere on that continuum. It's just you may be choosing for negative reasons to be one or the other, to be more yin than you really are or more yang than you really are. And the question is, how do you find that place on the continuum that's your true self?
Yeah, oftentimes people will change or alter their fire if they're with someone who doesn't quite get it.
Yeah,
they might have to
sure.
squash it down
yeah.
or damp it down or even completely put it out there. So, all right, so what are some of the challenges, Leah?
Well, obviously, the biggest challenge is how do you let that little light out, what we were just talking about? Because that communication of the heart has to be one way outward. And so a lot of fire people are asking this question, do you love me? Do you like me? They're always kind of letting or looking for the love to come back in the other direction. They're trying to like suck in love instead of give out love. And that means they're trying often to be someone they're not, that they someone they think you want them to be. And then because they want to be liked.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of immature. The power of fire is actually maturity, meaning maturity for a fire person is being yourself. Immaturity is trying to be someone you're not. So a lot of challenges are how to not be defensive when people aren't receptive to you or even mean to you.
Which happens a lot in this world.
Yes, and fires get very defensive. It is super hard not to. Right away, that heart protector comes in and you want to kind of duke it out.
Remember, we often say fire is the master or the queen of passive aggressive.
Yes, it's
because it kind of clicks that off.
Yes, the passive aggressive is a huge issue for fires because they know that they want to be loving and they want to be kind. And yet if they feel defensive, they're going to use that passive aggressive, which is like couched in niceness, aggressiveness.
Yeah.
And then there's the triple heater. How do they struggle? How does the socializer struggle? So you kind of referenced it, Jay, earlier when you said sometimes they can go home alone. So sometimes they want so badly to, you know, socialize, to just constantly be with people. They might find it difficult to be alone. And so that may cause them to have a lot of relationships that aren't that great for them. They'll just pick anyone and not the right person.
And that could slide into some sexual addictions and you know, like even substance abuse, all kinds of like slippery slope of like shitville.
Yeah.
For a fire person.
Yes.
Doesn't have to happen and it doesn't always happen.
Yes.
But it could happen.
Yes. And we just have to say one more thing about challenges. A lot of fires, especially not the yang types, but the yin types, they can have a lot of social anxiety. And we've talked a lot about this, about fires and sort of social shyness. But if you have water, a second element, it can even cause a lot more social anxiety because water is naturally awkward and fire doesn't want to be awkward. And so there's that.
So they have shy and socially awkward. Yeah.
So you'll see in their eyes, we characterize a lot of fire eyes as they look at you, they look away, they look vulnerable. And again, this is sort of hampering the light shining out.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. I love the way you talk about the difference of the roles there. So I think that's great.
So the pericardium's job on a whole is just radiating light and love. And it's circulating the spirit via the blood through the body and animating it. It's about being turned on in life.
What does Abraham say? Tuned in, tapped in, turned on.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes. Esther Hicks always, as Abraham says, how do you be tapped in, tuned in, turned on? With
we now
life?
Know what they were talking about.
But yeah.
Boom, chicka, bow, bow. Yes.
So if
it is part of life. It's a great thing to be celebrated.
Yes. So if you think about it, it's your job to communicate the radiance of the spirits. Wherever you are on this continuum between the pericardium and the triple heater, your strength is your vulnerability. Your vulnerability is your protection. We often say you become so good in yourself, like self-love in a big, big way. That's your protection. You just love and love and love forevermore.
Just like earth gives and gives and gives and metal serves and serves and serves. You just need to be the light and the love and bring the joy to the world. Just be your lighthouse and be proud.
Well, that's it, Jay.
Let it shine.
Bing. Bing. All right. So
we're going to continue this.
Yes, we're going to continue next time with the heart and the supreme controller and the small intestine, the supreme sorter. And we're going to talk about that continuum.
So your homework, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this podcast again.
Yes. There you go.
All right. Thank you. Have fun.
Bye.
Light and love.
Shine your light.
Yay. Bye. You've been listening to the Inspired Action Podcast, and you've reached the end.
Woohoo!
Why not celebrate a little bit and click that subscribe button right there? We love having you with us on this journey and we want it to continue.
You can also rate and review this podcast. And if you have already, thank you so much. We read all reviews and your reviews help other people find this podcast as well. You can also be a part of this podcast yourself by submitting a voice recording message and emailing it to us at Lita@inspiredactionpodcast.com or J@inspiredactionpodcast.com.
And if you want, you can join our Facebook group or follow us on Instagram.
Join us next week for another Inspired Action conversation. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And remember to hug the dog.